John chapter 12, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used it to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we shared in our young disciples' time, celebrations are wonderful occasions for those who are a part of our family, intimate friends, and there are few occasions more appropriate than to celebrate a birthday. I heard a story just this morning about a lady who was celebrating one of her milestones in life, her 90th birthday. And she had three sons that were the lights of her life. And they kind of at times would get in a competition, one with the other, of who was the most special of her children. So they kind of got this informal competition on her 90th birthday to outdo one another. The oldest son, well, he bought her a new home. And the next son in line, he bought her a new luxury automobile. And the youngest, who had a little tighter budget, he bought her a parrot. But not just any parrot. It was a special parrot. It could recite any Bible verse on command. You just ask, what's in the book of Genesis? And the parrot would take off. In the beginning was the Word. An amazing animal. And the day of the celebration came, and the boys were anticipating and seeing how the mom responded to their gifts. And she spoke up and said to the oldest, she said, "You know, I'm grateful for the home you got me, but I got to be honest, it's just too big. Just too much." And the second one who had given her the car, she said, "I like that car okay, but it's really just too small." And then for her final son, she said, "You know, I've really got to say, you've always been my baby, and I think the other boys know this. And although your gift was really the most humble of the three, it was really my favorite. And I must say, it was probably the best tasting chicken I've ever eaten in my life." Humble gifts are humility in itself can be a gift to us in life and faith. Have you ever thought of that? That being humble is a gift. It's a challenge. It's not always easy to be humble. We heard that story that I just shared in men's fellowship this morning. And we reminisce on a lot of things. We also reminisced on the country western song that went once like this, or still goes like this, I guess. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way," right? It is hard for us as people of God to be humble. And as we examine this scripture today, this beautiful passage that precedes Jesus entering into Jerusalem before the Passover, he goes to the friend's home, that one of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, for this celebration of his life, for this preparation of his journey to Calvary. We, I think, dear church, are given today a model for us as people of Christ to walk in a more humble way with our Lord. You see, it's the gift of Mary, I think, in our text today, that she models to us the prize and possession that we find when we humbly walk with our Lord. It began by telling us that there was a celebration, a party, an occasion thrown for Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but Martha was the doer, it seems, in that family, right? We remember the passage, many of us, where they'd had a great feast and Martha was doing all the work and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, Mary was centered on the most important thing. Martha was busying herself with all that there was to do. And in here in our passage today, the scripture tells us that Martha was organizing. Martha was putting together while Mary was anointing the feet of Jesus. And in doing so, consider this with me. Have we ever met a good cook that we didn't love? I mean, I heard this week a reminder that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? And I suspect that Martha was one of the best cooks in the first century world. She knew how to entertain, to care for others, to serve others. And with that, I'm sure there came some accolades. She may have even made the Southern Sentinel there in Judea for being the best cook around. And don't you know she was bursting at the seams, smiling, filled with maybe even pride? You see, I don't know about y'all, but that's a temptation I struggle with often. I often want the praise, the accolades of those around me. But Mary, did you notice in our text today? Mary was so eager to celebrate not herself, but her God. Scripture tells us this. As it's recorded in Proverbs, the one of wisdom, that book of wisdom, where it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, the writer of Proverbs is telling us we really get it upside down when we strive to build up our own glory instead of God's. We're actually setting ourselves up for a fall. Mary understood that. Her focus, her life's ambition, her goal with her family was not to bring herself glory in caring for all around, but to glorify the giver of life, the Messiah for all creation. Our scripture tells us that our unwillingness, dear friends, to give personal glory to God limits our humility. May we embody in our daily walk, and yes, in our worshipful gatherings on Sunday morning, this beginning of our week, that our total essence is to glorify Christ in the model, in the example that Mary gave us in her text. Mary also in our scripture, did you notice she gave of her finances? The scriptures tell us that she took this pure nard, this perfume that was worth about a year's wages, and she used it all to glorify her God. I don't know about y'all, but what gets in way of my humility at times is my concern about my finances. That was not a challenge that Mary had. She was willing to not be hammered by what she gave to glorify her Lord. She gave it all. In Mark's version of this gospel, he says that she did what she could. She gave all of herself for the glory of our Lord. But you know, Malachi says this to us. As often as we're unwilling to humbly give of ourselves, Malachi says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Malachi is saying to us in those ancient words, what many of us come to understand in our modern day world, you cannot outgive God. When we give of ourselves in worship, when we serve in our community, in the church, when we reach out to young people and nurture them in the faith, when we give of our resources, there are blessings in our life beyond our imagination. You see, Mary understood in giving of herself, she was not losing. She was being filled with the joy of her salvation. Mary was humble enough to know she didn't need everything for herself, but wanted to serve her God in all of His glory. Mary also, our scripture tells us, lowered herself beyond that of a servant and anointed Jesus' feet. You see, in the first century world, you could, as a servant, you had to do just about anything for your master except wash their feet. That was beneath even the servant. And Mary, here in our text, exemplified that at the root of humility, the root of us growing as more humble, is to be servants, to serve others, to care for those, to lower ourselves and be willing to lift up the Lord in our action, in our gifts, in His name. You know, I heard the story recently about Ronald Reagan's attempted suicide in a book titled Rawhide, The Attempted Assassination of Ronald Reagan. And in that book, there are two famous quotes that many of us are familiar with of how President Reagan responded to the attempted assassination just as he was about to go into surgery, as the team of surgeons and nurses were gathered around, as all of them were preparing him for this life and death situation, President Reagan asked this, "I sure hope all of y'all are Republicans." And then later that day, when his beloved wife, Nancy, came to see him, and she was checking on his step and how he was doing, he embraced that quote of heavyweight champion Jack Dempsey, who lost in a title match in boxing once, when he said to Mary, when he said to his wife Nancy, "Honey, I forgot to duck." Ronald Reagan had a wonderful sense of humor, as many of us know. But the author of this biography of Reagan said this, that central to Reagan's humor was his humility. His willingness to not think too highly of himself and think too lowly of those around him, to joke even at his own expense. You see, I've heard it said this way before, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Jesus is the ultimate example, dear church, of humility. We're grateful for the model that Mary gave us today as she lowered herself and became a servant of the Lord. But we all know who embrace Scripture that it's this journey to Calvary where Jesus would gather with His friends before His betrayal. And He would lower Himself. He would wash their feet. He would say, "This is symbolic of Me becoming the servant of all creation." You see, when Mary anointed His feet this day, this were preparing those beautiful feet for the journey into Jerusalem, to the journey down into the depths of darkness and destruction, and up on the mountain of Calvary where He embraced our brokenness to restore us through His love. Scripture tells us, as Paul recorded it this way, that Jesus being the model of humility, as He wrote to the church in Philippi, Paul said, "May the same mind, church, be in you that was in the mind of Christ, who did not regard equality with God as something to grasp, but yet he humbled himself, taking the form of a servant for you and me, that he may lift us up in glory. It's not easy being humble, but I'm also grateful for the words of James, the brother of Jesus, who said this in James chapter 4, when we consider why would we be humble if we have to give of ourselves, if we have to serve, if we don't get glorified, if we don't get to lift ourselves up. Here is James, the brother of Jesus' prescription of why to be humble in this earth. He said in chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Wow. Do you receive that text with me today? It says when we strive to think of ourselves less, when we strive to glorify God more, when we are eager to serve those around us for the sake of the gospel, that we, dear church, receive more grace of God, that he builds us up and strengthens us that we may know the true joy of living outside of self. John says it, James continues by saying this in verse 10 of chapter 4. He says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. You know what I like about that text? Have you ever seen a football game or a basketball game when they've won the big championship and the players come and they grab the coach and they lift him up, right? And they carry him off the court or the field in joyful celebration. There's two things that I notice about those celebrations. It's not only that the coach is being lifted up, but it's this as well. It's who is lifting him or her up. It's often someone that they thought very highly of. It may have been a captain on the team. Somebody they'd been through hardships with and they've seen rise to victory. And together they march off the field. It's not only that they were lifted up, but it's who lifted them up. Friends, did you hear our scripture today? What James said to us, when we humble ourselves, not only are we lifted up, but he, the Lord from on high, he, the one who endured our brokenness, he, the one who is the Savior of all who will trust in him, he is the one, dear church, who will lift you up through his grace. So may we daily embrace more fervently the example of Mary, the precious friend of Jesus, by being his friend as well, and humbly walking in his way for his glory and his glory alone. Amen.